In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Christ is in our midst.
He is in our soul.
The feeding of the 5,000, the multiplication of the bread and fish by our Lord Jesus Christ is not simply a cool miracle, though it certainly is. It's pretty nifty. But it's a sign full of meaning and a revelation of the divinity of Christ and of the meaning of food itself. As St. John Chrysostom refers to Christ as he who feeds the world, St. Theophylact of Bulgaria, the 11th century scripture commentator, wrote this. He said, he, Christ, multiplies both the loaves and the fish to show that he is the creator of earth and sea. Food from the earth, food from the sea. And the giver of what we eat every day. And it is multiplied by him. So our regular food is multiplied by God every day. St. Theophylact continues, Jesus withdrew to a desert place to the nations who were desolate without God. And he healed the sick in soul and he fed them. 5,000 were those sick in their five senses and who were healed by the five loaves. The two fish are the words of the fishermen. The one fish is the gospel, the other fish, the epistles. The 12 baskets left over were taken up by the 12 apostles that they would carry that bread to the world. The multitudes following Christ were hungry, and he filled their hunger. He blessed the food and gave it to them. Father Alexander Schmemann writes in his signature book for the life of the world, he says, man is a hungry being, but he is hungry for God. Man is a hungry being, but he is hungry for God. Behind all the hunger of our life is God. All desire is finally a desire for him. To be sure, man is not the only hungry being. All that exists lives by eating. The whole creation depends on food. But the unique position of the human being in the universe is that he alone is to bless God for the food and the life he receives from him. He alone is to respond to God's blessing with his blessing. We alone are to respond to God's blessing with our blessing. Father Schmemann continues, in the Bible, to bless God is not a religious or a cultic act, but the very way of life itself. God blessed the world, which means he filled all that exists with his love and goodness. All that exists is filled with his love and goodness. So the only natural reaction of a human being to whom God gave this blessed and sanctified world is to bless God in return, to thank him, and to see the world as God sees it. Father Schmemann says elsewhere, the whole world is presented as one all-embracing banquet table for us. And this image of the banquet remains throughout the whole Bible, the central image of life. A banquet now and a banquet in the age to come. All our celebrations throughout the human family are centered around food, a sitting down together, a breaking bread together. The 5,000 were told to sit down to eat. In our modern lifestyle, we too often eat on the run, sometimes literally on the run. I read an article this week that said that it's not good for us to eat the way we do. That we too often eat under stress, haphazardly, and it affects our digestion and our health. The article listed some common modern stress-filled eating habits. Eating while watching the TV, especially the news. Eating while driving. eating at your desk at work, eating after a stressful work situation, eating while talking on the phone, eating while arguing with someone, eating fast because you are late for work, for school, for an appointment, etc. Eating at a loud fast food restaurant, eating at a sporting event, eating while depressed or anxious. It suggests that we prepare for eating by pausing a moment and literally by taking several deep breaths to relax your mind and body in preparation for eating. Now, that article is concerned primarily with physiology and metabolism rather than mental or spiritual health. But still, the idea of preparation, of a gathering of self, is critical in many important life activities, such as prayer. It's good to pause and take a few good deep breaths before we begin to pray, to gather ourselves. Before anything like public speaking or any performance-based activity, we gather ourselves, we try to focus. And so it makes sense that eating properly requires its own certain preparation and atmosphere, a bit of collecting oneself, a focus, and so forth. It is indeed a calling to mind with a blessing that all our food is ultimately from the Lord when we bless our food. That is from the hand of God, and that all eating is ideally to be seen as a sacred act. This liturgy is a movement. It's a movement of preparation, a leading us up to the chalice, to this sacred meal. We hear the word of God first, we pray, we reorient ourselves toward the kingdom. We certainly don't take communion on the run. No priest should want to give communion to someone who arrives at liturgy an hour late. No one should want to receive the Eucharist under those terms, unprepared and unfocused and unaware of the importance, the sacredness, the seriousness of this meal. At the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000, the Lord made bread. The Lord made bread. In the miracle of the divine liturgy of the church, the Lord is bread. The Lord is bread. We see it in the earliest depictions of the Lord's Supper on the walls of the catacombs under Rome. On the table in front of Christ and the apostles, there are loaves of bread and the fish. A direct link between the multiplication of the loaves and fish and the Holy Eucharist. The Lord not only makes bread, he is bread. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world. Whosoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. Aletheis in Greek, truly, that the Lord's flesh is truly meat and truly drink. St. Isaac of Syria said, the man who has found love eats and drinks Christ every day and hour, and so is made immortal. We are called to eat Christ every day and hour, spiritually speaking. Whosoever eats of this bread, he says, which I will give him, will never taste death. Blessed is he who consumes the bread of love, which is Jesus. He who eats of love eats Christ, the God over all, as John bears witness, saying, God is love. There's a first century document, the Didache, or the Didache, the people call it different things. It's a first century description of Christian life, right after sort of the next generation of the apostles. And there are some early liturgy prayers there, very powerful. One of them says, as this broken bread was scattered over the hills, and then when gathered, became one loaf, so may thy church be gathered from the ends of the earth into thy kingdom. Thou, Lord Almighty, hast created all things for the sake of thy name, and hast given food and drink for men to enjoy, that they may give thanks to thee. But to us thou hast vouchsafed spiritual food and drink, and eternal life through Jesus. St. Ignatius of Antioch, countering those who doubted the Eucharist, even again in the first century, said they abstained from the Eucharist and from prayer because they confessed not the Eucharist as the flesh of our Savior, Jesus Christ, the flesh which suffered for our sins and which the Father in his graciousness raised from the dead. And so denying the gift of God, these men perish in the midst of their disputes, but it were better for them to treat it with respect that they might also rise again. Letter to the Smyrnians, to Smyrna. The 20th century great Romanian theologian, Father Dimitri Staniloi, he said, the universe is the vineyard given to men by God. All things are for our sake, not for theirs, says St. John Chrysostom. Everything is God's gift to us, a sign of his love. All things bear witness to the sap of God's love, his goodwill and grace, and communicate it to us. Consequently, everything is a vehicle of the divine gift of love, just as every gift that we make to one another is a sign and vehicle of love for each other. But a gift calls for a responding gift so that the reciprocity of love may be realized. To God, however, man can give back nothing. There's nothing we can give back to God but what has been given us for our needs. His gift, therefore, is sacrifice. He offers it in thanksgiving to God. We offer it in thanksgiving to God. Man's gift to God is sacrifice and Eucharist in the widest sense. Thanksgiving for everything. Everything is from God. Everything comes from the hand of God. The multiplication of the loaves and fishes is just a parable, a paradigm, of an example of God's relationship to us always. So brothers and sisters, again, finally, our Lord indeed has given everything to us. He gives us himself, and we offer it all up back to him as we sing on Holy Saturday. He gives himself as food to the faithful. He is the bread from heaven. Every meal we partake of extends from this meal, this food, this bread and cup. We bless this food in thanksgiving. The Eucharist is thanksgiving in action and in worship. Here at this table, our hunger is filled, and extending to every table, we are fed like the multitudes in the desert, and our thirst is quenched. Brothers and sisters, our food is Christ. Our food is Christ. Our life is in God. Let us partake, and let us eat with thanksgiving, with grateful minds and with grateful hearts. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Christ is in our midst.
He is our salvation.